Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity in the Church is one of the highest and most difficult to understand. It is a grand mystery of the faith, more so even than the understanding of how Jesus can be bodily present in bread and wine. However, there is a great detriment to those who do not believe in the doctrine, the teaching, and existence of the Holy Trinity. And that is because to not believe in the Trinity is to not believe in God. God must be believed as triune, yet one God, three persons, one Godhead, co-eternal with each other, uncreated, infinite, which means there from before the beginning, not three gods, but one. And as we just confessed together, whoever denies this Christian faith cannot be saved. That is more than a heavy statement, and most certainly it can be quite discomforting. But take heart, because faith is called faith, partly because it is believing in something you can't and don't have to fully understand. We believe because God has revealed himself to us in this way. God the Father, Creator, God the Son, Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit is Sanctifier. And when we are baptized into this name, we receive all the benefits of our triune God. This is a unified biblical confession that is to be rightly understood. The Father sends the Son, who is the incarnate Word that makes real, in real time comes down in the flesh, and is made to be believed in the one true faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Church's three ecumenical creeds were organized into the same threefold method to teach inquirers the significance of baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Church, though dispersed throughout the whole world, even to the ends of the earth, has received from the apostles and their disciples this faith, that she believes in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are in them, and in one Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who became incarnate for our salvation, and in the Holy Spirit, who proclaimed through the prophets the dispensations of God. Okay, that all sounds like it takes some intellectual sweat to grasp. But rather than sweating, why don't we just thank and praise God for sweating for us and just continue to sing of his mercies in the Church, which is his bride. As we have been singing Trinity tunes, and we will close this order of service this day with the tripart, Holy, Holy, Holy. And in light of that, music is a good way to look at it. Because music has three parts: rhythm, melody, and harmony. And I like to see that as a groove of the Trinity that composes our faith. What I like to call a sort of jazz-shaped faith, what the trio of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit provide for our listening pleasure. See, the Lord simply just loves to work in threes: body, soul, spirit, birth, life, death, past, present, future, beginning, middle, end, and then, of course, Jesus rose on the third day. But to set this stage of the groove for you, allow me to bring in my experience in jazz to this venue. As a sax player of over three decades now, I do know about trios, jazz trios, great ones. Maybe you've heard, like the Oscar Peterson Trio, the Bill Evans Trio, the Sonny Rollins Trio, maybe you've heard of the Nat King Cole Trio. Those guys could all swing, could get you moving. But in such like fashion, being in this kind of jazz-shaped faith allows us to experience the gospel as well as the economy of God. And guess what? You don't need to be a musician even to process this. Just need to learn how to listen, because God hears, God listens, and he doesn't miss a cue. He is a communal God who has never been alone from the beginning. He has always been in communion with himself. And although he reaches out to individuals, he presents himself fully and most presently with crowds. He is God everywhere, resounding. Now, the jazz trio has to bounce off of each other's moves and signals of the music. That means they must know each other, know what direction each element of the sound is headed, where that groove is going. And it can get messed up. It can get messed up if the melody isn't keeping up with the rhythm or the harmony. If all that's out of sync, any one of those could be considered, oh, where am I now? This is a messed up. Where are we going with this? So what do musicians call that? They call it attention. Attention between the call and the response that is going on in the jazz club. It is the tension, though, that drives the trio, getting in sync with the standard. Now, a jazz standard is a song everyone knows. They are standard repertoire. But likewise, tension also drives spiritual seeking. Man seeking for something he knows exists, but can't find or at least can't define it. There's not enough words in our English language to describe God. Good, merciful, awesome, omnipotent, wise, big. The lists can go on forever. So imagine the sound when God spoke creation into being through his word, all the while his spirit hovering over the vastness of it all. Such sound would taint the eardrum. Perhaps that's why he decided to create man last, so that he could maintain the hearing of man and not burst the eardrum. But nonetheless, man, given the blessing of hearing, then proceeded to stop listening to God. And so one must ask, was God prepared for that stoppage? It appears that after the fall, God has to improvise, just like the good jazz musicians do all around the rhythm, melody, and harmony of the song. And the art of improvising in music isn't a random pushing all the buttons on the instrument and then hoping some kind of good sound comes after it. You have to go along with the chords of the music. But improvising is actually a skill. A skill that means you can play anything without a moment's notice, and it will sound good. So, the Father progresses with the Son, his word planted to come down to earth and dwell with us. But his Son, when he comes down to earth and dwell with us, isn't like that much. It takes getting used to jazz. People didn't too much care for the composition. In fact, they rip the whole score up, bloody it up, and then hang it out to dry. But the trio, still one, carries on with the set, late into the night, riffing all through it until daybreak, where the spirit of the day changes everything. You see, it's more about God than it is about us. God does the crafting and creating the beats, the rhythm, the melody, and the harmony. And our walk with God just follows along. And you know what that's like? That's like the imagery of the stand-up bass. And in jazz, when the bass is doing his thing, we call it walking the dog. It sounds like this. It's called walking the dog. So what God does is improvisationally presents us with this good news. He invites mankind into his club to come in and listen, stay a while, live the tension from unfree to free, and then have the ability to play with others. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the church is a nightclub. It's not even a social event. It is a gathering under the tent, the Godhead, as family, because we've been crafted into the trio of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus, speaking about himself, says, "This is what I am, who I come from." And this inclination to mark himself as a son of God that he did, much less God himself, it appalls those who were with him there, because they're stuck on another father. And you see, Jesus has to explain to them about that other father, that before Abraham existed, He existed. I am. That's the name given to Moses at the burning bush on who to tell the people sends Moses to free them. But Jesus is not glorifying himself. He's just stating the facts. The Father glorifies him. They are one and they have the same spirit. To have the same spirit for us, the church now, means to keep the word together. And yes, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So we all praise the Lord. Okay, but how? First, how are we related to Father Abraham? We are related to Father Abraham because we are related to Abraham's father. That's how. In holy baptism, we are given the new family and household name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's like many of our names. We have a first, a middle, and a last. The first is what you're called by. The middle name usually sets you apart from everyone else's first name. And then your last name is your surname. It denotes how you are family and related to the Father. But don't quote me as saying that this analogy is an affluent theological concept, because it's not. I just use it to think on the one family name that you're birthed into in biological life and spiritual life. See, our second birth happens by the Father's will, through the Son's work, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And fathers here also take note why we also are related to the patriarch Abraham. Because Abraham heard and listened to God. He had no clue where he was going or where he'd end up, but he trusted God and had faith that wherever it was, the mystery was enough if it be produced by the holy, holy, holy. Fathers here are related by hearing and listening to God as well. And Abraham did see Jesus' day. The pre-incarnate Christ did appear to him, and he ate and drank with him. That's a sermon for another day. Point is, fathers too lead their family wherever God calls them to. They do not turn away. And when they don't turn away, their children are inclined to stay a while and hear some more. Some more of the rhythm, the melody, and the harmony of life. This is all living in the groove of God. The groove he has now revealed to us. The mystery may be mysterious, but it is not muted. The gospel revealed unravels the fullness of faith. By God making known his glorious riches, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1. Christ in you reveals the Father and the Spirit. The trio making music in the soul. And then it directs our steps in the home and wherever we find ourselves abroad. So I say in closing, it does take practice and training to be a jazz musician and jazz theologian. But we do that practice and training here. We do it here in the Lord's house, singing, ascertaining the call and response of the three in one and one in three, confessing the great I am, and then finally getting to dine with him. As the late great tenor saxophonist John Coltrane put it, it is a love supreme. Recognizing the special connection as his children. Children, because of being incorporated in his Son. And then by that, getting inspired by the Holy Spirit, who breathes new life into our lives. We live this love supreme, even in the mundane tasks of life, folks. That's because the Holy Trio is in the midst of diapers and dishpans, leg lifts and laptops, lovemaking and grocery shopping. So we corporately come together, we gather, we engage, we participate with the trio, all to find this freedom in the groove, to have life in concert with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then to get sent out to all nations through the same name and faith. Our confession in that way is appropriate, and we hold to this faith to receive its comfort. Because the one who is and was and is to come, receive the fellowship of the oneness, the trio who is for you and not against you. And so with that, on this Holy Trinity Sunday, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.